I remember one time when I was sitting in a meeting with my youth ministry mentor. As a student came up weighing his decisions about which college was best. There were two great options for this student, and he wanted my mentor, Stephen, to tell him what to do and give him the easy answer. And Stephen's response was, "It doesn't matter." With those words, this young man started to deflate like a balloon. But what came next out of Stephen's mouth changed that guy's life and has stuck with me for years. But we'll get back to that in just a minute. Because like this student, we have all had hard choices to make. We want to leave our fingerprints on the world, but sometimes we just also want the right decision served up to us on a silver platter. It's important to remember that the best opportunities rarely, if ever, are so clear. And so as we begin this new series that we're calling A Time Such as This, we're going to be taking a look at the book of Esther and how she and her cousin made their mark on the world by making bold choices in the face of dire circumstances. The long and short of it is that we have to make big decisions in the middle of less than perfect circumstances. And so the words of my mentor, Stephen, said this to this college-bound student: "I don't care which school you pick, because they're both great, but neither one is perfect. And so you need to make the most of your time at school by trusting that you have done the work and not living with a what-if mentality." These words are powerful. And so if we first and foremost kind of take stock of the situation that we are in, we hear clearly how we might discern where God is calling us to. What he was saying is that you have to do the hard work of locating and knowing your reality. The first thing we must do is make the most of our opportunities to take an honest look at our current conversation and situation. And so if we turn to the book of Esther today, I want to help you understand where God's people are, where they're located. You see, they've been outside of their home for years because of this Babylonian exile that happened in 586 BCE. Through a long string of harsh rulers, God's people were scattered throughout the land until King Cyrus allowed some of them to go back and rebuild the temple and the wall to their home. And we find these stories in Ezra and Nehemiah. But during this time, there were also many Jews who didn't go back home and lived strictly under that Persian rule. You see, King Xerxes was the lord over this time period, and he was lord over 127 provinces and had extreme power. And though our story may seem a little bit pliable at times, the history reports say that he was the most handsome and the most intelligent ruler that anyone had ever seen, but he was also the most powerful. This guy wasn't messing around. And so when he begins to see that there's another kingdom kind of gathering power, brewing in the West called Greece, he starts to think a little bit. And so after 3 years of his reign and putting down the Babylonian uprisings, he starts to look and address that Western threat. He does this by throwing a party for 6 months for the powerful men around the area. And he starts to gather favor. And if we look at this from that situation of taking stock of where we are, we can see that on the surface, it's jubilant times. But maybe the tension is gathering like a dangerous undertone. And so with this idea of our current reality, we then have to move to ask about who our trusted voices are speaking into our lives. And so for Xerxes, it was these men that he calls in to speak into his life. You see, he threw a second party after the first for everyone for 7 days. And after everyone's been a little bit overserved, the king calls his wife Vashti to come in and be shown off to him and his guests. Now, we pause here and say that this begins to open up the door for God to work kind of behind the scenes, because the king calls in then these trusted advisors, and what they do next is mind-blowing. They say, "Let a royal decree go out from him. Let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes that Vashti is never again to come before the king." Just because she didn't want to put herself in that situation, can you blame her? But if we pause right here, we learn something pretty critical from this king. If we want to make the most of our opportunities in life, we have to recognize the power we give those that can speak into our lives. The king had sent for his wife, whom he loved and cared for, and now he's in this lose-lose situation because she said no, and because the advisors say something different, and he doesn't want to be embarrassed. You see, it's all because of the people that he let speak into his life. You want someone who wants you to win, not somebody who wants you to become internet famous because of some viral video. P.S. If your friend gets out their camera to start filming instead of speaking sense into you after you say, "Hey, hold my drink," or "Y'all watch this," you guys need to get some new friends, right? The king chose people that loved the perks of being an advisor more than they loved the king, and so they didn't hold him accountable. They made themselves comfortable. The king's advisors were acting out of a spirit of fear, so they made the decisions that was in their best interest and not the best interest of the king. And friends, as God's people, we need to put fear in its place. Like our scripture from 2 Timothy, it reminds us that we need to fan the flames of our faith and put God in the front seat, so that fear takes a back seat. Fear decreases and love and self-control increases. But that's hard to hear sometimes over the roar of our advisors. The people we allow to speak into our lives today have been given permission to shape our future. And so then, after we see our location and listen to our advisors, we need to finally check our mission. The final thing we need to do is to check to see where our God-sized vision and dream is, and check that against the bigger picture. And so, is your current path that you're on right now something that will lead to lasting fruit in your whole life? Let's go back to that John 15 passage. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Now just think for a minute about what your life mission is. Maybe we could ask the question of, if you could take 20 seconds and make an announcement to the entire world so that they would all listen, what would that be? Might be your mission. And so then we ask these questions of, is my current path going to lead me down something that I can hang my hat on there? Is it going to lead to something lasting, or is it just going to serve this short-term ego for me? Right? This Thursday, for our Theology Thursday kind of bit, we're going to look at two guys and see kind of what ego means. Pastor Mike Slaughter reminds us that ego may stand for edging God out. And if that's what our current path is, we might have another thing coming. However, if the opportunity that you have been presented will lead you down a road that leads to lasting fruit, it is likely the right time to take your shot. So check your message against the question, is this the lasting impact I want to be known for? It's good, right? And so as we wrap up, I would encourage you right now, or at least before the sun goes down today, write or film yourself for 20 seconds, making the announcement that you would share with the world, and then share that with some of those trusted advisors that you have, and invite them to hold you accountable for what that might look like. And just be reminded that the people in the community of FaithPoint and the Common Table are part of that trusted advisors who are pulling for you. Because we know that when you live into your God-sized future, that we all win, that by each of us taking seriously the invitation to become the church and share that lasting fruit of hope and purpose through Jesus, and in a world that is so overshadowed often by self-centeredness, we all win and we become the church. And so remember this, friends, remember that excuses are easy to come by. But investments that we make today will be lasting, life-changing fruit for tomorrow. Let's pray. God of grace and peace, we give you thanks for these opening words of Esther and this reminder of locating ourselves where we are, choosing those trusted voices, and then checking that against our mission. In these ways, God, we can step into that big, God-sized future that you have in store for us. Allow us to be surrounded by people who care more about us than the perks of being around us. God of grace, in all of these things, we lift them up to you, for you are that creator, redeemer, and sustainer in which we offer our prayer. Amen. Thank you, guys.